Welcome to the Family Matters series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and I'm delighted today to introduce today's guest. This is teacher, homeschool consultant, and nationally recognized speaker, Erin Weideman. Welcome, Erin. I'm super glad to have you here today.
Oh, me too, Marty. Thanks for having me.
Now, our audience doesn't know this yet, but you have made special accommodations to talk today. I want them to know just how grateful I am to have you, because you are not only 36 weeks along with the birth of a baby, but you're also, or with the pregnancy of a baby, but you're also about to move. Isn't that right?
Yes, we have a lot of really big life changes happening all at once, but we're just trusting the Lord in everything. So our baby's due in just a few weeks and moving to a new town. So really excited. And yes, we have a lot to do.
You do. I can't even imagine. Well, so when anyone complains to you about what they're going through during this pandemic, you basically don't even have to answer back, do you?
Oh, I feel them though. You know, this situation really is creating a lot of challenges for families. So yeah, I know from experience how hard things can be, especially when they feel piled on. So I'm with everybody listening.
There you go. Well, that's actually one of the reasons that we decided to start this podcast series, because every family has issues, and it seems they're, I don't know if exacerbated is the right word, but at least brought into more into the light, because we all are together more. Many of us are together more during this season in particular. And I know that you, being an educator and a homeschool expert, you offer something right now that's especially designed to help families. Would you tell us just a little bit about what you call the heroic homeschooler?
Yes. So it really started several months ago. I began to get phone calls and messages and emails from mostly moms who were trying to survive the first wave of the COVID isolation and the quarantining, with kids being home and learning, moving all of a sudden and with no notice to online, and you know, to not be in the traditional school environment, was really creating a lot of struggles for these parents, especially who are trying to juggle things like work and other jobs, and you know, they're maybe working from home. So it was just put on my heart. God really wrenched my heart for homeschooling the last couple of months. So we created a course. It's essentially a mentorship series. It's 6 weeks long. It's training, it's instruction, it's support, it's guidance from a team of people, me included, as a professional teacher for many, many years, both public and private school, and now a homeschooling mom. Just really felt the need to come alongside parents and to be able to speak into their unique situations, help them understand how to develop a rhythm that's going to work for their family, how to help, each of their learners get their specific needs met. When you're trying to balance all of these things inside your home environment, a place they are not used to learning. So it's been really great and well-received. We've loved having hundreds of parents inside the mentorship, asking questions, getting the support they need. So it's been such a blessing on our end.
I love that so much. Now, let's say, for example, that I've never homeschooled. I haven't done this before. And then suddenly, this is in my face, and I have to make some decisions about what to do. What do you say, or what do you offer to help me right in that moment, Erin?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just that you don't need to panic. This is a time to stay calm and understand. Probably the best thing you could do early on in this journey is to just let go of your own preconceived notions for how the school day, the traditional school day, is supposed to go. You know, your children are used to learning in an environment where they're away from you. They've got different adults in authority over them who have given them a structure and a system to work inside, and they've got a bell schedule, and they're used to doing school a certain way. Your job as their parent in this season is not to try to replicate their bell schedule or all of the different things that they're used to doing, but really I tell parents to just sit down with each of their kids and talk out what this season is going to look like, and find out the way that your kids are going to work best with you. Remember, they're not used to having you in this, you know, education role necessarily. You've taught them many things over the course of their lives, but you sent them off to school to learn from somebody else. So this is really a time to pull the reins back and get everybody into a meeting and just say, okay, here's what our family is facing. Let's talk through it together. We're not going to try to, you know, pick up and replicate the school situation you're used to, because that's not necessarily going to work at home. but what will work at home? And being able to adapt and carve out some of those rhythms and a schedule that works for each of your learners, you can do by working with them. You don't have to, you know, give that to them and just say, here's how we're going to do everything. You can really invite your kids into a conversation where you honor the way that they want to learn, you know, that will help them think through the best way to get their work done and just to work together as a team. I think that's what it's really all about.
Oh, I love that. And it seems as though that would take so much pressure off. Not feeling that they have to replicate what's done in a public school or a private school or whatever situation they were in. But that makes a lot of sense. Now, what about, I know my daughter is in this situation. She's a working mom, working outside of the home, and happens to be a teacher. So she was teaching from home, and her husband was working from home, and then they have a little two-year-old. Now, there are families in that situation with older children who have to be educated as well. So what types of things how do you advise them, Erin?
So depending on your child's age and stage, it's very helpful to sort of, what we try to do at our house and what I always counsel parents to do, you know, the bulk of the day is not going to be filled with just academic instruction and leaving no time for other things. So you want to talk with your kids and make it collaborative. But certainly create times where they can play independently from you if they're small. There are many, many things that even the littlest ones can do with little or no participation from a parent, even in the short term, you know, even if in little stints of like a half an hour at a time. But for kids who can get their academic work done, you want to build in, work with them to build in free time, to give their brains a break, to help them, you know, refresh themselves and be able to go back to the academic learning. And then my advice always is to build in time to take care of the things around the house that need to be taken care of. I think a lot of parents are overwhelmed going, okay, wow, my kids are usually out of the house. They're usually eating lunch out of the house. Now I'm looking at lots more dishes and the house seems to be a wreck. And
they want to keep eating for some reason.
Yeah, and everyone, you know, you've got full access to the fridge all day long, where at school, you know, you're in your desk until the teacher tells you it's okay to eat. So all of these things can create a very interesting dynamic and can put pressure on individual family members. So having there be a good mix of academic time, and then, you know, refreshing, take a break, work on your own, play independently time, doing something that will light your kids up. And you know, maybe that's artistic, or maybe that's getting out for a walk, but it's something that they can do to just give their brain a break. And then always working in a way for them to help and contribute around the house, because contributions to your family's team and that collaborative effort is so, so important during this time, because kids are feeling the pressure. They are missing school. Parents are feeling the pressure of, oh my gosh, things are happening so much more at home, and how do I get a handle on all these things? So we really just need to allow grace to operate inside our house by having a good mix of different kinds of activities. So much emphasis isn't on, well, we've got to get your work done and you're doing work all day.
Oh, yes, yes. Being a former homeschool mom myself, I remember that, especially as a new homeschool mom, it was so easy to think I had to keep him in school 8 or 9 or 10 hours a day to get all these things done. So, but I also incorporated, we always called it life skills when we were doing, whether it was helping with the laundry or cooking meals for the freezer or whatever we were doing. So anyway, it sounds like we think at least somewhat alike on ways to survive the homeschool, whether it's a moment or whether it's something that you choose for a longer season.
Definitely. I think, I was going to just add too, I think
sure.
too, a lot of the pressure, especially for parents who are having to work from home, who are going, gosh, my kids, I feel like they need me all day. How am I supposed to sit down and get my work done? We, at least in our house, it's been really helpful. And I've tried to counsel parents on this too. Not that you want to, you know, use or abuse technology, but really like leveraging the fact that we have devices to be able to engage with people outside the home. You know, during COVID, we've got parents and grandparents that live on the East Coast. We've got people that live all over the country, but we've created and carved out
weekly little check-ins, you know, 20, 30, 45 minutes for grandparents, aunts, and uncles to check in with our kids and have just a relational conversation back and forth. That gives me a chance to check my emails, you know, or have a conference call if I need to. And then that engages our kids in somebody who is a non-parental authority figure, someone who cares deeply about them, who they can continue building a good relationship with. So using technology in that way for you know, our family, who's we've been isolated, we've been missing people and not able to have, you know, that face-to-face interaction, it's really, really helped our learner and so many other moms and dads and kids out there to be able to engage with people and leverage technology for good and not see it as this hindrance or this negative thing in the house that we have to police all the time.
Oh, I love that. That's perfect. And of course, God would want the technology to be used for good and would want families to be closer together. Now, what about, I was intrigued in your, because I'm a mom of four girls and one boy. They're not girls and boys anymore. They're young adults. But I noticed in your overview of your program, your video mentoring program, that you mentioned how differently boys and girls learn. And that may honestly be something that parents who haven't been teaching their children haven't really thought, or educating their children more formally haven't really thought about. Would you give just a little quick word to that?
Yeah, I think just, you know, there's nobody who knows your child like you do. You spent the most time with them. You have nurtured them and developed them from the time they were small. So you can really trust your instincts first and foremost about the way that your child will receive information, process information, the way that they best learn or the way that they can be most engaged or excited or enthusiastic about whatever topic they're going over. I mean, you can really lean on your own instincts to do that. But the number one thing, too, I would say is definitely ask your children. You know, some of them do enjoy listening to, you know, a piece of information or a topic introduced, and then they like to do hands-on activities, or my daughter likes to, you know, run her vocabulary flashcards while she's jumping on the trampoline because she's very high energy and she doesn't have to sit still. And bless her, like, I'm used to being in the traditional classroom, you know, before I quit my teaching job several years ago to be an entrepreneur, I was used to, you know, that traditional model of, okay, you've got 20, 30, 40 kids in the class, you stand at the front, they all face you, or maybe they're in tables. And kids don't necessarily need to learn that way, certainly not at your home, where they've got lots of little nooks they can read in. My daughter likes to do math puzzles on the floor, which sometimes the traditional classroom space doesn't allow for that because you've got so many kids. Everybody's in there and rotating around and needing different things. So this is really a cool opportunity for you to think through, gosh, what would be some really cool engaging ways for my child to interact with this material? You know, can it be non-traditional? Can it be on the floor? Can it be outside? You know, can we go for a walk while we're quizzing and reviewing information? There's all sorts of fun ways to get them involved. And again, what you want to do is create buy-in, right? If you just say, this is how it's going to go, and, you know, this is the way it makes me feel the most comfortable, your kids are going to check out a little bit. So in any and all ways, I would always recommend to invite your kids into that conversation and say, okay, we're going to have to get these things done today. How would you like to do that? What do you see it being like? And it really creates buy-in and enthusiasm and way less opportunity for arguing or pushback or that struggle that can exist between parent and child.
I love that. That's great. That sounds like a great word. Now, what about some people, this is only for this season, however long this lasts, and it seems to keep changing from state to state and district to district as decisions are made, but, you know, they're not planning to be a long-term homeschooler, and others may find themselves, maybe find God calling them to live this lifestyle for a longer season. Are there differences in the way they should approach that with it, if it's just for a short time or if it's for a longer time? Do you have any tips or advice on that?
Yeah, I think too. I mean, even in our house, you know, I taught for many years, again, traditional environment. When I quit my job to come home for the first time, I was faced with these same questions, right? My daughter was, you know, had finished up a couple of days a week of preschool. So it wasn't like a full-time situation we were used to. But in thinking about kindergarten, it was like, well, I can see us maybe doing this for years and years, but who knows, right? So what we try to do is just approach it, you know, a semester at a time, a year at a time, and just see, can we in this season get in a good rhythm where we're working together? This is lifting up and bringing our relationship closer together. it's something that we can, you know, be excited about doing. Not that there won't be any struggles or conflicts, because that comes up in any teaching student relationship usually. But yeah, I think not putting, again, taking that pressure off yourself to say, well, this is something we're going to jump into and just do for the next several years. Just take it a semester at a time. You know, make some good decisions based on who your learner is. You know, choose some curricula that you feel like will engage them in the way they learn best, and curriculum also that you feel like you can use, that you're really excited to use. Because let's be honest, it could be the coolest curriculum for your child ever, but if you don't feel comfortable using it, it's not going to go that well. So, yeah, you want to have there be a good mix of, okay, this is going to work for them. I feel like it's going to work for me. Let's implement it. And then the beauty of homeschooling is you can just assess very often and be flexible and make those adjustments if you need to. If you see something's not working, or you can't figure out or get in a good rhythm with your student, there's pushback, or they're struggling through a particular unit, you can assess these things as you go and then make adjustments on the way. You know, you can throw things out, add new things later. So it really gives you the freedom to see, okay, it doesn't need to be like hardwired for, you know, the unforeseeable future. Let's just take it, you know, a few weeks at a time, and then we'll continue to assess and adjust if we need to.
That makes a lot of sense. So what would you say would be your top three, you can make it four if you want, or even five, but your top tips for parents who are in this season facing homeschooling? What are your, I guess if you're going to give them a quick survival guide, what would you say?
I would say, first and foremost, I would say, don't do this on your own. I would say you need to start off by having a family meeting and say, here's the challenge that we have just realized we're facing. These are the things that I see it being. I really want to invite you into this space, figure out what fears you have, what worries you have. Let's come up with a plan together that's going to help you be productive, but it's going to help our home stay peaceful and spirit-filled, where grace can live and survive and thrive. Because that's first and foremost what we're trying to do as parents, right?
Want. Yeah.
Yes, we want our kids, obviously, to have a rich and wonderful academic experience, but not at the expense of their identity, not at the expense of our family unit. So I think first and foremost, that my first tip would be have this family meeting, meet often and talk about, again, how it's going. But certainly that initial meeting where you plan out together how this is going to look over the next few weeks, what everybody needs, work to meet those needs as best you can. And then when something needs to change, my second tip is don't just leave it the way it is. If you see something's not working or your parent intuition is telling you, gosh, this seemed like a really good idea when we implemented it, but now that I see it in real time, it's clearly not effective. Don't sit in the misery of that. Just have another meeting, come together with your learner, make an adjustment, whether that's to the number of instructional minutes or the place where they're learning. A lot of times if you change the location or the amount of time they're spending on a particular activity or the type of activity it is, you can make a little tweak here and there and watch something unfold that was, you know, formerly a really difficult problem. So be flexible is tip number two. Mm-hmm. And then my third one, I would just say, you don't need to be an expert in any one subject to be an effective teacher. One of the most powerful things you can do as your child's educator, when they ask you a question, and this happens to me all the time, because I'm like, you know, in English history brain, I like words, and I'm a professional writer, and
amen.
I like communicating, and you know, is setting up a science experiment like something that gives me a little bit of anxiety? It sure is. You know, I'm not a very good artist.
I can relate to that,
right,
too.
I do some of those things where at home I'm like, oh my God, I want her to have this like rich artistic experience, but I can't paint, I can't draw, you know, I don't know any of the things. So right away you kind of discount yourself as somebody who can teach this. But one of the most powerful things you can do, no matter what subject you're feeling ill-equipped in, is if your kids ask you a question or they need help with a particular topic, if you say, gosh, I don't know the answer to that question, but let's find out together. You show your kids that you yourself are a lifelong learner, that learning is not this destination of, okay, I got to adulthood and now I'm a parent and now I'm not interested in learning anything new. You're going to model for them how important it is to continue asking questions, to not just sit in the lack of knowledge, right? When your kids ask you a question, it's not, well, I have every answer. We're imperfect people. We don't know everything.
Right.
Take the opportunity to say, gosh, you know, I have no idea how to answer that question, but we've got books, we've got resources, we've got the power of the internet. We can leverage all of these opportunities that we have around us to find the answers together. And now you're making learning cooperative and you're showing your kids that they're going to learn forever and not just in the season that they're currently in.
I love that so much. I think one of my favorite things about homeschooling was how much I learned all along the way.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Now, when a parent comes up, I guess today they're not coming up as much as they're calling up or connecting with you online, but when they share maybe some kind of a major struggle or a problem that they're having, what encouragement would you offer that person who's just in a moment where it's just hard?
I think, you know, the one thing I try to remind myself of, and, you know, when you're home with your kids, you're spending more time with them, you don't have that separation of somebody else teaching them and maybe coming back together for meals and different things. And, or you've got, you know, they're busy with their scheduling and don't get to spend as much time with them. But what I would say is, and what I try to refresh myself with often when I feel like, gosh, I'm coming up short in a way, or I'm not, she and I in our relationship aren't firing on all cylinders, I just try to remind myself that just the way God created me uniquely, he created me to be her parent. And there's nobody who can be the parent, the teacher, the guide, the nurturer, the developer in my child's life, in my learner's life, like I can. And that's why God did that. And if you can remind yourself of that when you have those negative thoughts creep in, when the enemy tries to poke at you and say, oh, you're not cut out for this, or you don't have the right training or the right experience, and you haven't taught in the classroom before, because you'll have those negative patterns of thought swirl every now and again. My advice is definitely to combat that with the truth of what God says about you, which is that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and he's placed you inside certain spheres of influence because he knows you can be very effective when you partner with him. So partner with God to make all of these decisions and remind yourself of what he says about you and that he placed you inside this relationship for your child, because he knows what you can do when you partner with him. And there's nobody that can do the job that you can do.
Amen. Thank you so much. You've encouraged me, and I'm not even homeschooling anymore, Erin. So
well, you're a veteran. You have so many years of doing it. Yeah, I can learn.
This is true. And I will affirm that without necessarily having that as a goal, one of the things I've been so grateful is that I have ended up with 5 people who are lifelong learners, and I love that about them, that my grandson now at 2 is excited about life and learning because his mom is always excited about life and learning. So that's a blessing when you get to see it on that end too.
Absolutely.
Anyway, there's one more thing that I would love to hear from you after all the encouragement and the wisdom and the tips, and that is, if you would take time, Erin, to pray for our listeners, I would just be so appreciative of that.
Oh, certainly. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now in a place of extreme gratitude for the opportunity to pour into our kids' lives in ways that maybe we didn't even expect or think were possible. And I just pray right now for anybody who is feeling doubtful or fearful or filled with worry or stress or anxiety about their ability to create a dynamic and rich and vibrant learning experience inside their home for each one of their children. Because, God, we can do that. We can do it with your help. We know that there is an effective way to set this up for each of our kids to get exactly what they need, for our family units to stay close and bonded and filled with faith and the strength of what your word says we can have. So, God, I just pray for a receiving of any family listening who needs that refreshment right now. And that, God, you would just fill us with the peace that comes when we know that you are fully in control of the situation. We can be diligent and conscientious and loving to our families and lead with kindness, lead with peace, all the ways that you've taught us to do that. And the best thing we can do is partner with you to do it, God. So I just pray for a strengthening of that partnership between your kids and you, that you would be able to come alongside all of the parents who want to do the absolutely best job they can do for their kids, and that you would show up in big ways, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Erin, thank you so very much. I did want to ask you, so that our listeners will know, how what's the best way for them to contact you if they're interested in some of these resources and help that you provide?
Absolutely. They can go to truthbecomesher.com/homeschool. If you go to truthbecomesher.com, there's a little button at the top that says homeschool, and all of the mentorship, the support, everything you need to start homeschooling or just to get the guidance and direction that you need in this season is right there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we didn't leave that out, because you certainly have provided just lots of information, and I know there's more where that came from. So thank you again. Thank you for the time. As I said, especially right now in this particular season of your life, and I so appreciate your wisdom. And listeners, we never take you for granted either. So thank you for your time as well. Be sure to watch for more episodes in the Family Matters series on Charisma News.